USA.
She's so lovely with the USA.
Are you listening to CITR 101.9 FM on the student special on from 11:30 till 1 o'clock today? That first track that you heard there is from Holy Other, and the song is called Love Someone. It's from their album Held. And if you stick around today till around like 12:40-ish, near the end of the show, we're actually going to be interviewing a company called, or interviewing someone from Good E-Reader, and we're going to talk about the new role that e-readers have in students' lives. So, of course, like, the Kindle is like a huge thing right now, and I think this interview will be great just to like get a look into what kind of stuff the e-readers are kind of going to be helping students out with and the direction that it's going. The Vancouver Public Library lends e-books right now, and they have partnerships that will really help kind of journalism, English departments, as well as just students in general. So it'll be a great talk just to see where this new type of technology is going. So that's really cool and excited for that. And they actually just came back from the Book Expo America 2012. So yeah, we'll see what they say about that. I bet a lot of stuff has been discussed at that expo. So it'll be cool to see what kind of stuff the industry is going to be presenting to the world soon. But yeah, I'm going to get back to some music. This next song is by Humans, and this is from their new album, Traps, which is really, really amazing. If you haven't heard it yet, you should definitely check it out. I think they're at SLED this week. So yeah, if you're somehow listening and in Alberta, maybe you should check out SLED. But actually, I don't know, is SLED over? I should double check on that. I think it might have ended this weekend. But yeah, here's some music, here's Traps, and this one is called On Pagny. Sorry, strange title.
CITR presents Apollo Ghosts with Halifax's Dog Day and Monomyth at the Waldorf Hotel on Friday, June 29th. The show starts at 8 p.m. Cover is nothing more than $7. It's a bi-coastal grudge match. Don't miss it.
Calling all BC short filmmakers. The third annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is back and accepting entries until August 1st. Students and professionals welcome. No max time limit, but keep them short. At the last festival, 45 short films were screened. $18,000 in prizes was awarded. For more information or to enter, visit bsff.com.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you stuff it in your face.
Don't stuff it in your face.
Though it might look good to eat.
Though it might look good to eat.
And it might look good to taste.
And it might look good to taste.
You could get sick.
Ick.
Real quick.
Ick.
Real sick. Real.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Don't put it in your mouth. Put it in your ear.
Don't you put it in your mouth, till you ask someone you love.
That's right, sis.
If it's okay to eat, if it's okay to eat like a muffin.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
SFU Woodwards presents Miss, The Golden Dawn. An original electronic opera, The Golden Dawn will be performed in two intimate shows at the Goldcorp Center for the Arts. For Miss' live show of elaborate and handmade costumes, visuals and lightings, they have created an electronic opera that weaves a story told in theater, dance and video. The Miss plays Studio D on June the 22nd and 23rd. Showtime at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased through sfuwoodwards.ca.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is the student special until 1 o'clock today. Some of the stuff that you just heard there were On Pagny by Humans from the new album Traps, Everything in Its Right Place by Radiohead, Believe in My Blood by Cold Cave, Cara Falsa by Hombre, Phone Sex by Blood Diamonds featuring Grimes, and that last one was Shonen Hearts by Parakeet. I really, really like that Radiohead song, and I don't really know why, because I'm not really a huge Radiohead fan, but I don't know, that song just gives me, like, chills. I was watching this movie called Anonymous, and they used that in the trailer, and that's how I, like, kind of discovered that song, I guess, because, I mean, yeah, like I mentioned, I don't really listen to Radiohead, but that might be the reason why, because I really love that movie, and it also, it's kind of creepy-ish. You know, in the trailer, the way that they use it, it's, like, kind of got that kind of unsettling kind of feel. I think they were going for that. But, yeah, it's a really interesting movie. If you're really into Shakespeare, you should definitely check it out, because the whole movie is basically, it's kind of talking about, it's kind of a historical biopic, but there's a kind of, like, controversy with it, because I guess, basically the movie is kind of saying how Shakespeare actually wasn't the one who wrote all his plays. It was actually someone else. So the main character is the Earl of, I think, Lanchester or something. And his name is Edward. And he is this powerful lord or whatever. And apparently he is, like, the one great love of Queen Elizabeth. And they're saying how he was actually the one who wrote the plays. But of course, like, if you're a lord or something, or like an earl, you're not actually supposed to be, you know, involved with the arts that much. Because back then, like, actors, writers, anyone in theater, they're considered, you know, like, not very classy, or they're kind of regarded as, you know, scum. So, so he wasn't allowed to, like, publish his works, I guess. So he actually hired someone else to kind of take credit for his work, but he just wanted to, like, see his stuff on stage, I guess. So really interesting movie if you're into that. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be having Eric and Michael from eReader here to talk about the future and the potential of e-readers in students' lives here in universities. So it's going to be a really interesting chat. Going to talk to them about the different types of technology. I actually didn't know this, but as I was doing, like, research for this topic, there are actually a lot of different e-readers. Like, for a really long time, I thought it was just the Kindle that was kind of dominating the market, but apparently Barnes & Noble has their own brand of e-readers called Nooks, and that came out pretty recently, but apparently it's, like, $1.4 billion, you know, increase in sales for Barnes & Noble, so it's kind of a huge deal for them. But yeah, we'll be talking about that. So that'll be happening around 12:40-ish. They said they might be running a little bit late, so we'll see how that goes. But basically, we're going to have that coming up, so stick around for that. It's going to be really interesting. Right now, I'm going to play a Destiny's Child remix by Cyril Hahn, who actually goes to UBC, and he's a friend of our ex-president Grace's. So I always get this on my newsfeed on Facebook, and I'm checking them out, and they're just amazing. He's really good at remixing. So this one is one of Say My Name, And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is the student special until 1 o'clock today.
to the weeping sheltered tower of skin above from the bottom, leaves our rolls bare. They'll just wander back and forth and leave it. Build it into pinnacles and shrines of sun. Some ghastly predicament in mind you'll find. Leaves us plastered to a bed of hairs. Chest unburied. Oh, but dear, the sky is low. Gather up its harm in garden.
at the Vancouver Aboriginal Child and Family Services Society, our mission is to protect and value our children, our future, our responsibility. We invite you to come join our circle of caring. We are seeking caring people in the greater Vancouver and Richmond areas who are willing to share their homes and provide foster care for Aboriginal children in need. Contact us at 604-216-7447 with any questions or visit us at vacfss.com.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is a Soon Special. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock today. And with me in the studio right now, I have Michael, and he's the editor-in-chief for goodereader.com. So thank you so much, Michael, for coming.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and I know you guys just came back from the Book Expo, so how's that?
Yeah, well, it was our first time in New York, and 4 members of our staff were there, and it was a crazy 5-day convention. It was sort of where every major publisher and digital publisher was all under one roof. There was autograph signings with major authors that are there. So you had like lines that spiraled literally for city blocks. People just trying to like get their autograph from my favorite author.
Yeah. Bigger than Comic-Con?
It probably was not as fun as Comic-Con. It was a little bit more book nerdy than that. But I think it was pretty good altogether.
Cool. So yeah, I actually don't know too much about e-readers, but I did a lot of research before. So I actually didn't know that there are so many different brands of e-readers. Like for a long time, I thought that I guess like the dominant kind of brand was the Kindle that Amazon put out. But like Barnes & Noble has the Nook now. So I don't know, like with so many people kind of thinking just of the Kindle when they think e-reader, how do you think that all these e-readers are going to compete with that?
Well, it's hard because Amazon has a huge operating budget, so they could afford to put television ads, print ads, and all these things. So it's the public awareness. It's almost like with the Samsung Galaxy 2. Most people thought that that was the only Android phone because every bus stop had an advert there. It was all on TV, and so it really just hammers the idea down that this is the only thing that you want. Whereas the Kindle's fine, and while there's a lot of other great e-readers out there, most notably Canadian-based Kobo is sold in Chapters everywhere and Future Shop and all those stores. It's a pretty good e-reader. It's a homegrown Canadian company, and they put a huge social media aspect on it. So whereas a lot of companies just try to compete with Amazon, Kobo, on the other hand, sort of goes in another direction by allowing people to engage with each other. So when you're reading a book, you can actually talk with other people in real time that are actually reading the same book as you are. And so it's a cool little spin. It goes far beyond just sharing a book passage on Twitter and Facebook, like a lot of companies actually have to offer.
I had no idea that it did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because book reading is a solitary experience. You know, when you're curled up with a book, it's just you and the book. Whereas what Kobo does is they sort of make a virtual book club, and they make reading social, which I think is really cool. And because personally, I don't know anybody that isn't a book club, and I don't really have the time to sort of scope out where book clubs are meeting. But if I can engage people and talk about a book that I'm reading at when it's convenient for me, whether it's like late at night, really early in the morning, just whenever it tickles my fancy, right?
Yeah.
It allows me to do that. So there's a lot of different e-readers on the market. Few are really good, but it's really taking e-reading in a different direction that really makes a company bring something new and fresh to the table.
So with like all these talk of e-readers, like how do you think that they're going to be incorporated into universities eventually, and how are they going to like make it easier for students to learn?
Well, I think right now even e-readers really make student life a lot easier. I mean, when I went to school, it was a backpack full of books. I went to Emily Carr, and you know, you had all your really thick tomes of things like that. I mean, you had your PDF files and things like that, but a lot of them are kind of unwieldy and unmanageable. Whereas with e-readers, instead of a backpack full of books, you have something that weighs less than a pound and could hold, you know, 50,000 books in there. There's a lot of companies such as Amazon, CourseSmart, that actually specialize in digital textbooks. So really anything that you would have to buy for your upcoming semester, you can either rent So you don't actually have to buy the book. You can just rent the book for 6 months, rent the book for a year, save 60 to 70% on the cover price that you would buy, say, at the bookstore or online or used or whatever. And so it really is more cost effective to move digital, because instead of, you know, spending your student loan money, you know, like $3,000 in a books, you could spend literally like $900 and have all of your books. And so that money could be used elsewhere.
I was actually going to ask you this before, but you kind of answered it. But I guess, is it difficult to gain rights to all these different textbooks? Because, like, I guess they have to build that library, right?
It's mainly a lot of companies spend more time wooing publishers to, like, jump on board onto the digital, you know, freight train, rather than just trying to build a great service, because it's all about securing, you know, McGraw-Hill and all those big publishing companies that do textbooks to get them on board. Mm-hmm. I think now that a lot of companies are realizing that digital is the way to go. And, you know, every year people are seeing double-digit growths or growth like 200% in terms of, like, ebook sales and things like that. So a lot of people are paying attention to it. And if a publishing company could make a lot of money on basically a digital file, they're willing to do it, although they're not really willing to do it with startups. They're willing to do it with, like, existing companies that have been around for, like, 10, 15 years.
So, like, I also saw on your website blog that you had an interview with Tom Mercer from 3M, and he kind of mentioned a little bit about cloud libraries. So do you think that it would be feasible for university bookstores to eventually maybe lend their, like a very basic version of these readers to students, and to, like, kind of let them use it for a term or maybe a year? Would that be something that, like, e-readers would be going into in the future?
That's what we would love to see. I mean, I'm a huge proponent and advocate of e-readers, just because they allow you to do so much more than reading, but they allow you to do what you want to do, except without you ruining a textbook. So you can make highlights, annotations, and things like that, and you're doing it in a digital file. Whereas if you have, like, a textbook and you're, you know, making dog ear pages and highlights and writing the little notes, I mean, it hurts the resale value. But with, like, a digital book, you know, if I give the book to you, it doesn't really matter. None of my notes carry over. I think that, especially in an educational institution, I think that if you were to provide e-readers with your tuition, and so every student gets one, I mean, really, it comes down to, like, they're $90. And if you buy them in quantity, they're less than that. So even giving them to students, like, when they sign up with tuition would be good. But I think even, like, the student bookstore should, you know, maybe charge students, like, $30 a semester or something like that, just to use it. And then that way people would be able to get more value out of it.
Okay. I'm just, like, curious, but, like, for me personally, when I have textbooks, I like to keep them for, like, a year or two after I even finish using them, just in case I need to go back. Is that something that's, like, possible for like, e-readers? Because, like, I know if you rent the book for a semester, say, you can basically never get that, like, text back. So how would that work?
Well, it seems as though that a lot of companies that do the rental type program, take Amazon with their textbook program, for example. You could say, okay, I want to board for 6 months. Okay, I want to extend it for another 6 months. You get a discount. Oh, I want to extend it for another year. You get a discount. So it's something that it's not time sensitive. If you want that book for another year or so, you really just pay an extra $20. And even having that book for 3 years still clocks in less than that textbook would have bought, or that textbook would have cost if you would have purchased the tangible version.
Okay, so I've noticed that iPads, actually, I don't personally have an iPad, but I know that it has, like, a lot of similar kind of functions as what an e-reader might do. And I've noticed that in my classes, there's actually a lot of people that bring their iPads to class and they take notes on them, and they, like, send themselves their notes or whatever. So how do you think that, like, e-readers might be able to compete with that, with a lot of people already owning iPads?
Well, I mean, there's a huge distinction between a tablet and an e-reader. Taking the iPad, for example, I mean, the new iPad's amazing. I really dig it. I mean, I use it a lot myself, and it's really good for the whole multimedia aspect of it. What I find about the iPad and tablets in themselves is that they're very distracting, that when you're sort of taking notes, it's very easy. Oh, an email popped up. I'm going to read that. Oh, someone sent me a Facebook message. I'm going to read that. I mean, you know, when you have a smartphone, I mean, it's hard to get really concentrated in one task because there's always, you know, tweets and things like that coming in. And for me, I'm a sucker for that. If a message comes in, I'm checking it. And so having a tablet, you really get distracted, not mentioning the price. I mean, an iPad costs like $600, $700, $800.
Yeah.
Whereas an e-reader costs $99, $120. So it's more cost effective to go in an e-reader direction. But I mean, if you have the disposable income, a tablet is just as good. And in some cases, if you're reading, say, a biology textbook or something on antiquity or history, you kind of want to see those colors. You know, if you're looking at a picture of, say, the terracotta warriors, you know, in China or something like that, you want to see all the colors and all the hues and gradients. It sometimes gets lost on an e-reader. But there is a lot of synergy between e-readers and tablets. If you have an Amazon Kindle and you buy a book and you have an iPad as well and you install the Kindle app, all of your purchases are transferred from device to device. So if you have an e-reader and you're taking highlights and notes and annotations and stuff, and then you fire up your iPad, everything you did on your Kindle in terms of highlights and notes is carried over to the Kindle app on your iPad. So it's not one or the other, but there is a lot of synergy between the two.
Okay. And there are a lot of reviews on your blog for like e-readers and tablets. What do you think is the most appropriate for like students?
Wow, that's a loaded question. It's sort of like, what do you want out of a device? I mean, it's like, what type of smartphone do you want? I mean, you have people that swear by their iPhones, swear by their Blackberries, but they're two different experiences and they work for two different sorts of people. Mm-hmm. I would say for ecosystem and freedom of use, probably for an e-reader in Canada, you probably want the Kindle Touch because it's touchscreen. Most people these days are using touch interfaces, you know, whether it's a monitor, whether it's a phone, a tablet, you know, whatever. People are just used to interacting with things via touch now. So I'd probably recommend the Kobo Touch or the Amazon Kindle Touch just because they're pretty fast and responsive. They're pretty easy to get a hold of, and you're not going to be pulling teeth in trying to figure it out. They're really, really user-friendly.
Okay. I'm just curious, but are there already any universities that are kind of integrating e-readers into their book lists at all?
Yes. We have a web-based store that we run, and there's a lot of universities and colleges that actually do business with us and sell e-readers in their student stores and things like that. I'm huge on digital classrooms, like personally, just because I know, being a student myself and being sort of that poor student eating ramen noodles and things like that you don't have a lot of money, and so any way that you can save money is good. And so that's why I love digital, just because instead of buying a hardcover novel when it comes out for like $30, $45, you can buy for $9.99 the digital version. I mean, that saves you a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And going back to sort of schools, I really think that digital classrooms are the way of the future. I mean, you see iPads now, like in your classes, where maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, that wasn't the case. I mean, just in a short amount of time, how popular those really became. Whereas everyone that doesn't have iPads are still taking like notes and things like that. Whereas those are the types of people that should be adopting e-readers, whether you're doing a 6-inch or whether you're doing like a 10-inch style. So you're not limited. It's just a really small screen. Yeah. There's sort of different types of classes and things like that you can move up.
Cool. Okay, so one last question. What are you reading right now?
I am reading, rereading, because the sequel's coming out, but it's a book called The Passage by Justin Cronin.
Cool.
And it's a dystopian type book. It's divided up into two parts, but I think just the flow of prose is just unlike anything I've ever read before, and I'm a voracious reader. So.
Nice. Yeah, well, kind of expected that, I guess. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much to Michael for coming in. If you are interested in following the kind of conversation on e-readers and like the new different types of developments in this kind of area, feel free to check out their website at goodereader.com, as well as any other websites that you might find online with this. But yeah, they have a cool blog, they have updates from their book expo visits, so definitely check that out. And our hour and a half is almost up, but thank you for listening, and tune into CITR 101.9 FM. And if you want to stick around for Democracy Now! In about 5 minutes, that'll be coming up. Happy Wednesday.